I haven't been to the Kruger National Park for a long time. I'm trying to remember when last I was in the Kruger, and it's probably more than 10 years ago. And I had a wonderful time when I was there. I've been going to the Kruger since the mid to late 60s, I think, was the first time I went. Perhaps 1966 was the first time that I went. And I can't remember a single trip that I've taken there, whether it was for a weekend or 3 weeks, that didn't give me enormous pleasure. And the state of the Kruger National Park comes up occasionally on the radio. And then there is a kind of mixed bag of comments. Some people say, oh, the infrastructure's crumbling and people are behaving increasingly badly and you can't get close to a sighting. And other people say the Kruger Park is still the wonderful Kruger Park, the absolute jewel in the crown of wildlife experiences in South Africa. Don Pinnock, an environmental journalist, has, with Helena Creel, another writer in this field, done a two-part series about the Kruger for the Daily Maverick. Don, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
How much time did you spend in the Kruger writing this article or preparing to write this article?
I didn't spend any time writing this article in the Kruger, though I've been there many times. I spent a lot of time on Zooms and on the telephone and reading documents and things.
When last did you spend an appreciable amount of time there?
Oh, about 3 years ago.
And? Did you?
I loved it. I loved it. I mean, I really loved the Kruger. The reason we wrote this article is that we loved the Kruger, and we really, really worried about it.
Okay, worried about it. One of the areas about which you and many other people, including the management of the Kruger Park, are very worried is poaching, and particularly rhino poaching. And Don, in I think it's the second part of the article, you raise the possibility of, in the not-too-distant future, the Kruger not being a Big Five reserve because there won't be any rhino left. Is that journalistic license, or do you actually believe that that is a not easily dismissible probability possibility?
Well, John, we looked at the figures, the sort of reducing number of rhino, and it's dropping rapidly, and did the calculations at the rate at which it's dropping. 3 years is not impossible unless they stop that, and we passed that via Sand Parks and the head of Kruger, and they didn't disagree. So, yeah, I mean, I think that might happen unless something else happens that stops this decline. You know, there have been over 19,000 logged poacher incursions since 2014. They're 2,700 a year. Poacher syndicates moving into the Kruger Park. It's a war zone, John. And you know, rhinos, they're doing all sorts of things. They're chopping off the horns. They've chopped off a lot of horns, but the poachers, you know, they're coming at night and they don't see what's got a horn, what hasn't. So it's not exactly the best option. There are droughts that happen, and the rhinos do die. But really, the Kruger Park keeps saying, "Oh, rhino poaching has gone down." Well, rhinos have gone down so much, the poachers are having more trouble finding them. But also, the Kruger is being good at stopping these incursions early. But the poachers are finding other ways. They're getting rangers in the park to sort of drop a pin, as it were, where the rhinos are. And then money just pops into the ranger's account. You know, most rangers do not do that, but there are rangers that do that. So it's a real worry.
And it is a worry that, as I intimated before we brought you into the conversation, that the management, particularly the senior management of the park with whom you had these long Zoom conversations, are deeply worried about. But they are restricted in their ability to do something about it because they're getting less and less money from the state. And COVID meant that they got less and less money from visitors to the park over a significant period, which means that their ability to do what needs to be done, and they are probably, I don't know whether you'd agree, Don, they're probably on the right path in terms of what needs to be done, but they simply don't have the resources to execute that plan.
Absolutely. I have a lot of confidence in the people who talk to us. Gareth Coleman is the main sort of change manager for Kruger, and Lutonda Dziba is the head of the sciences of Sandparks. They know what to do. They're trying to do the right thing, but they've had a 66% cut in their operation budget. And because of the lack of tourism, they're mainly funded by tourism, there's a 280 million rand deficit. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they know what to do, but they don't have the bucks to do it. And, you know, I'm not sure. What's interesting, John, really, is that they reached out to us. As you probably know, it's quite hard to get these officials to talk to you. They talk through their press offices and they give you spin. These are the top guys in the business. They aren't, you know, whistleblowers from the accounts department. They're top officials and they're calling for help for the park. I hope they get listened to and not victimized. We were startled that they were prepared to open up and trust us. But they say response to the article has been very good, so I'm hopeful.
Yeah, and somebody's just sent this WhatsApp in. Was in Kruger in December, stayed in Letaba. It is in a state of neglect and decay. The shop, which burnt down 2 years ago, is a blackened ruin overgrown with weeds, surrounded by rubble. The electric fence in front of our safari tent was broken. In Lower Sabi, the ladies' ablution blocks for camping had one basin out of four that had a plug. Same in other camps, no value for money anymore. Now, part of that might well be poor management of a particular camp or historic poor management of the hospitality part of the visitor experience, but some of it will have to do with not having the resources to fix the things that quite clearly need to be fixed.
We got sight of a report that Gareth Coleman had put together that was, you know, it was an internal document, and we were very fortunate to be given a look at this. And it's right across the park. Evidently, the supply chain, there's problems of supply chain. There's problems about the skill of people to do, and you know, not the right people are being given the jobs of fixing things. So there's a whole range of issues there, and they you know, Gareth is very aware that they need to upgrade the facilities and fix them for tourism, because you know, when people send out reports like the one you've just written, fewer people come to the park because they don't want to. They're aware of the problems of the facility, and they don't have the staff. They're 82 rangers short. Heaven knows how many maintenance staff they're short. People are not staying at the park. There are all sorts of problems. And part of that is poaching, especially with the rangers. There's a lot of mistrust. There were integrity testing that went wrong, and it was stopped. It caused a lot of unhappiness, and the unions jumped in. They're going to start it again if they can get the unions to agree. But all of that stuff leads to mistrust and uncomfortable job satisfaction. And so I think all round there's a deterioration of the fabric of the park. And I think that's really, it's not, I don't think it's management at the upper level. It might be management in the middle and lower. But it's largely, I think, funding. I think that's really, there's not enough. And they're spending millions and millions on anti-poaching and failing.
The private sector, Don, private-public partnerships sometimes are a good idea in principle and in practice. Sometimes they're a good idea in principle and they don't work in practice. But I'm quite sure that some of the more moneyed tourism operators would be willing to help in return for a share of the profits or a share of the revenues.
You know, I think a lot of the operators would be happy to assist for a share of nothing, just to get the park going, because that's where, you know, their revenue comes from. The Wilderness Foundation is looking, and they're going to create sanctuaries away from the park, away from the danger zones, to put rhinos in, secret sanctuaries. So there is quite a good relationship there. In the discussions that we had earlier, Helena and I, when we were talking about rhinos specifically with Lutondo Dziba, he was really wanting to reach out and saying, we need the private sector now. We need independent owners of these animals to assist us. They're very clear that that's what they need. The trouble is that because of poaching spreading out into private owners. They're wanting to get rid of their rhinos, and you can't just kill a rhino. So the park is now bracing itself for these private owners wanting to put their rhinos back in the park. But that's even a bigger problem because they're losing rhinos. You know, it's I'm not sure where that goes.
Nor am I, but thank you for painting that picture, bleak though it is. Dr. Don Pinnock, an environmental journalist. You can read the two-part series written by Don and Helena Creel on the Daily Maverick.